I'd like to conclude this week, and next week we have to talk, tie things together a little bit, and to deal with one of the most important topics in this whole subject that of hischazkus for parents in raising children. So for those who have the kuntres in front of you, the booklet, please turn to page Chaf Gimel. We're going to talk about davening. We'll see why something that's often taken for granted. On Chav Gimel it says, "Eis Yud Dalet." Vehine ha'avayda ha'kadoisha hazu, lizkasha ha'ashpois v'ha'koiches she'ashemes baruch neisen lanu, avur ha'nishomes she'eshen l'shaychis imahem. We've been learning the entire time that the Baruch Shalom has given each and every parent the koiches that he or she needs to raise the children. And the children were sent davki into that particular home because only those parents have this special koiches to raise that child the way that Hashem wants. So hemes chadshim mechadosh b'chol yom v'yom. It's not as if Hashem gives you this koyach and you get it once and then you use it up quickly. Hashem's mechadosh, Hashem renews that koyach within each and every one of us every single day. Yesh b'shnei chalokim, chelik echad hu chelik ha'hidor la'Hashem esbarach. When it comes to davening, guarding our children, which is so important, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, maybe a little bit next week. One part of davening, as you all know, and davening in general, is haidah, which means to give thanks to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And only after giving thanks, and there are many reasons why, and this is explained at length in the Rishonim and in the Achronim, why is it that that's the seder of davening, that first we praise Hashem, we give thanks, and then we make our requests. So too, when it comes to our children, there are two general, basic areas that we focus on. One is giving thanks to Hashem, for what we have, for the koiches that we have, for the children that we have, and the koiches that Hashem has given us to raise them. And then asking of Hashem for what we need, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later on. That part of giving thanks. That each and every day, preferably at the beginning of the day, we should give thanks to Hashem. What does that mean? Al shehishpia al koiches chadoshim umiyuchadim. That Hashem has been mashpia, that Hashem has given us this day, each day, that Hashem gives us those new koiches and those special koiches. Avur kol haneshomis she'ezke she'iyya le'shaiches imohem hayom. Hashem has given me the koiches today to be able to take care of these neshomis that are under my care. U'l'chol apachas pam achas yesh lahaydos azeh. K'goin b'chol yom kasha oimer b'baikir esa maid ani. That when you say maid ani in the morning, u'maydim la'hashemes baruch ala neshomis hashemes baruch yechzir lanu. In the morning when you say the brachas, before you say anything, you say maid ani. And you're thanking Hashem, she'echzarte b'nishmasi, that you gave me back my neshama. So when you're saying that little tefillah, the first thing in the morning when you open your eyes, so he's saying, and you say the bracha, Rabban Shalom, the neshama that you gave to me, you should stop and think for a moment to thank Hashem, not just that you're alive, but to thank Hashem for the new life that He's given you this day, the new koiches that He's given you today. The new koich, the new strength that He's given me today to serve Him. You should have in mind in the morning when you say Maida'ani, and you say L'kain Nishom Nishasatabi, that Hashem, I want to thank you for giving me the koiches that I need to be able to take care of my children today. To be able to take care of my children. And if you repeat this often, whatever went wrong yesterday, whatever happened yesterday, that's already finished. That's already in the past. But today Hashem has given me the koiches to speak to my children properly, to show them enough warmth, to take care of them properly. Hashem has given me those new koiches today, regardless of what I messed up yesterday. Today's different. I will call Mashni Zokuk Lashpia Hayyim. Kain Hashem is Baruch Nais and Umashpia Yosef Yosef Bechol Yom Yichadish each day new. K'ma Shekosuv Me Abnei Yisoschav Oid Tzadikim. Shekamaisha Adam Oshir B'mamon, the same way that a person is wealthy, when you have a person who is wealthy, that he has a great deal of money, K'fimashu Zoicher, Shekol Ma'amayin Hurak Pikodin Shehigi Eliyadav. If a wealthy person remembers that all the money that he has is merely something that Hashem has given him to hold on to, in the meantime, Kadesh Yechalek Oisel and Itzrachim, for the purpose of being able to distribute this money to those who need. A wealthy person was given the money to be able to take care of this money, to help those who need. So the Bnei Saska said that to the extent that a person remembers that all that I have is only for the purpose of doing for others, not that you can't enjoy life, but that the Baruch Shalom has given me this wealth much more than I need for myself, so that I should be able to take care and help others. So to the extent that the person remembers that, he keeps that in mind, so the Baruch Shalom will give him more and more. Because now he is a worthy vessel of that wealth because he's distributing it, and he remembers and he thinks of it that way. But if for a moment he begins to think that this is my money, and therefore I will distribute, I will give as I see fit. In other words, he begins to hold on to this money in a very tight way. And Hashem, Chas v'Shalom, will remind him that you're simply somebody who was appointed for whatever reason to hold on and to be shliach to distribute this money, not to get carried away and to think that it's yours. The only reason that you have that wealth is that the Rebbeinu Shalom, for whatever reason, gave you this chus that you should be able to be a person to be mekayim mitzvahs with this money and give out to those who need. But that's all. You know, there was a Jew who used to go to the Rebbe Abzushia. And from the time that he came to the Rebbe Abzushia, so he used to have bracha and hatzlacha, because the Rebbe Abzushia used to give him brachas, and it was terrific. And then he found out, it was brought to his attention, that the Rebbe Abzushi himself has a Rebbe that he goes to. Who was the Rebbe of the Rebbe Abzushi? Mizitcha Magid. And the Rebbe Abzushi used to go to Mizitcha Magid. So this fellow was a chacham, he was a smart guy. He said, if I'm making so much money, I'm doing so well going to the student, to the Rebbe Abzushi, why should I waste my time like that? Better I should go. I'll go to the Rebbe, I'll go to the Mizitcha Magid. And he began to go to Mizitcha Magid. And from the moment he began to go, he began to lose all of his wealth. Until Ad Kedei Kach, he became a poor man. And he didn't understand. And he came in to the Rebbe Abzushi and he asked, I don't understand. When I was coming to you, when I would come to you for brachas, so then I had such hatzlacha. And then when I started to go to your Rebbe, it was even greater than you. So then all the brachas stopped. So the Rebbe Abzushi told him, you know, when you began to investigate and make all these sophisticated chilukim, distinctions between the student and the Rebbe, so then the Baruch Shalom also made sophisticated decisions when it came to your bracha. Whether you're worthy for the bracha or you're not worthy for the bracha, the Baruch Shalom began to make those distinctions. But when you were simple and when you were coming to me in a simple way, trusting in Hashem, that I would be a vessel for your brachas, so then Hashem was simple with you as well. So the idea, of course, is that when a person who has bracha thanks Hashem, is thankful for the bracha that he receives, and he remembers from whose hand that he received this bracha, then the Baruch Shalom continues to give. But if the person begins to make chilukim, he begins to make distinctions regarding that wealth as if it's his, so then chalila the Baruch Shalom makes chilukim as well, whether or not you're worthy of being a shliach anymore. Therefore we have to ask Hashem to help us remember always that what? That we really have nothing. And we can't get up in the morning to diaper a kid, let alone to have a good discussion with a child. Everything is just a gift. The ability to take care of our children is pashut a gift from HaKadosh Baruch. And there are many people, Nebuch, who are incapable of taking care of their own children. And that the children, even to the point that sometimes the children have to be given under some, to be taken care of by somebody else. Hashem Yirachem. And we take for granted that we could take care of our children. It's not true. We can't do anything without the Baruch Shalom. And therefore, the first thing, when we say my da'ani, that you gave me my neshama, it doesn't just mean that you gave me my life back, but you gave me my life with all of my koiches to be able to take care of my children. Kach gam kein b'negeya l'koiches sheyesh l'kol av l'kol aim, the koich that every father, every mother has, of kol malabin and teacher, alayna luzka sheyesh l'ne pikdainis nefloim. We have to remember that the Baruch Shalom has given us this wonder, these wondrous pikdainis, these securities to hold on to. That the Baruch Shalom gives us each and every day new koiches. Because Hashem is Baruch trusts us. The same way that He trusts the rich man. As long as Hashem trusts that rich man with the wealth, so the rich man can have the wealth. So too the Baruch Shalom trusts us with the greatest gifts of all, with the wealth of having children. And when we say in the morning, we say, Rava Emunasecha. That means not only that great is Hashem's trustworthiness, Rabba Emunasecha means great is the trust that Hashem has in us. Rabba Emunasecha, how great is your Emunah in us? How great is your trust in us that you've given us the children to take care of? Shashem is Baruch Mamin Ban, He believes in us. And He gives us therefore each day new kaiches. Shanucha Laha'ir B'nishama Shiesh Lanu Shaiches Imayim. Ukefi HaSimcha Shal Mitzvah. And to the degree that we feel the joy of this mitzvah of raising our children, kach evshel liskeis l'zeh, kashenechnasim l'akita v'kashenechnasim l'abayis, mitach simcha shal mitzvah. This attitude of feeling grateful, of feeling gratitude to Hashem Baruch for giving us the children, and for giving us the koiches to raise them, this is an attitude that the children will feel, they will sense in us the moment we walk in the house. They could tell whether or not we look at them as being a huge burden, as being a very unpleasant part of our lives, we would much rather be doing something else, or whether the children see us as when the children see us that we are people who are besimcha with the responsibility, although we could be overwhelmed. I already spoke about that. It's okay to be, you know, to feel the achrayis is very scary, but at the same time, to feel the simcha that we have to have the children and to be able to raise them, and the children should feel that when the Rebbe comes into the class. And the children should feel that when the parents come into the house. Therefore, every time you say Shemoneh Esrei, it would be a good thing, he says, to think of this. When you say, Hashem will give thanks to you. Or in benching, when you say, and for everything, Hashem is Baruch, I want to thank you. You could have each child in mind. You should try to think of the children. When you say, for everything you are given, we give you thanks. The bottom of the page. Now, besides giving thanks, there's another chelik of davening, and that's the chelik of bakashas, of asking, of requesting. Especially, we should try at the beginning of the day. Especially in the morning when we say Birchas HaTayra, when we say the brachas of Hamalami Torah La'ami Yisrael, Asher Bachabonu V'Nosan Lanu, when we make the brachas Birchas HaTayra in the morning, that's the most powerful time of the day to have in mind this request. What? She says, Kedai L'Sraga L'Vakesh Birchas HaTorah v'kol ha'neshama sh'yesh lanu shaychus imayim k'idu ha'mechazal ha'kedoshim b'tzadikim s'chusim again alim sh'akavona b'birchas HaTorah y'skula niflo l'deris k'doshim me'irim. That bracha, the bracha that we make in the morning, the Birchas HaTorah, the two most powerful times of the day, of the week, to daven for the children, is in the morning when you say Birchas HaTorah, the brachas of the Torah, and then before you light Shabbos candles. Those are very, very powerful times. Also, Erev Rosh Chodesh. But in particular, during the regular week, Birchas HaTorah and the brachas by candlelighting, to have in mind by candlelighting, that the children should be good luchtike kinder, they should be good and healthy, and they should grow, be great in Torah and Yerushalayim. Uchiyadua, next page. Me'adoris HaKoidmim, that in the earlier generations, how much koiches the fathers and the mothers used to pour into the Birchas HaTorah when they would make the brach in the morning. And how much koichus the parents would pour in, the mothers would pour in when they were saying, when they were lighting Shabbos candles. It wasn't just a perfunctory act. When the mothers were lighting Shabbos candles, it was with bechias, with crying, and with chinas, and asking Hashem for the children. Skip to the bottom of the page, because he talks about something we don't really need to go into right now. V'yadu mechazal, akadoshim tzedikim. Shebeis berchas ha-tayra, we know from Chazal, that at the time of berchas ha-tayra, Zo azman she'Hashem Yisbarach mashpias kol chelkei ha-tayra miyuchadim liyom zeh. The time in the morning when you make the bracha at the beginning of the day, the berchas ha-tayra, that's when Hashem gives you the shefa, the bracha that you need for all the Torah that you're going to learn that day. That's why we say in the present tense, Hamalame Torah, Hashem is teaching Torah. Lashon Haiva, Noisna Torah, giving. Hashem is giving me the Torah. It's not just that Hashem gave it to us a long time ago in Har Sinai. Each morning when we daven, we ask Hashem, Noisna Torah, give me the Torah that I need for today. And again, the Torah doesn't just mean, because you might not plan on having much Torah that day. You might not be having a Shir that day. Right? You might not have the opportunity to learn. But as we learned before, it doesn't just mean the material for teaching. It means to have the wisdom, the understanding, to have the knowledge to give to my children, to speak to them the right way, to tell them what they need to hear. It's nice in Hatayra, in the present tense. Al Kain Kasher Ha'av. Therefore, when the father, the Malame, the Meshpia, Mavakish, Mischana, Bebechas Hatayra, Ba'imra, when he says, Vaharev Na Hashem, Elokeinu, is Divrei Tarascha Befinu. When you say the words, Vaharev Na Hashem, make the words of the Torah sweet in my mouth. You're davening that Hashem should make the Torah of that day sweet in my mouth. And then we say, then we say, all the children and grandchildren. My sons, daven to Hashem when you say Birch Torah. And even if your son is 40 years old, or your daughter is 40 years old, whatever it is, you daven to the Baruch Shalom, that the Torah that my child is going to hear that day should be sweet for my child. That the Torah should be received in a good way, in a sweet way. And my students, Shetis Arav Behem, but here, Vaharevna, means not only that it should be, that he explains, it's not only a lotion of sweetness, but also the word Taruvus means what? When something is mixed in, right? Taruvus means when something is mixed up, it's mixed in good, right? So he explains, Shetis Arav Behem, Vetis Masach Bekirbam, Rabbi Shalom, please help that when my son is sitting in yeshiva today, my daughter is in school, please help that he or she not just hear the Torah and that it sits on the surface of his consciousness, but that the words of Torah become good, are engemished in the personality of who he is, to change him, to change her, to make them into greater people. Not just to hear words of Torah and that the Torah just floats by, or that they're just learning to be able to succeed in an exam or to answer the questions for homework. But Vaharevna, Hashem, please help mix in the Torah into their personalities. They should become part of them. Ubetevas HaKadoshis Ha'elah. That the olive base and the words of Torah and the words of learning should become part of who they are. When you say that, you have those thoughts in the morning when you make Berachas HaTorah, you are able mamish to bring a tremendous Yeshua to your children, to your grandchildren that day. You could affect them for the rest of their lives. That Torah becomes a part of who they are. I saw in a sefer, a ma'isa, you know, there was the great Goyim, Reb Chaskel Avramsky. I'm sure many of you heard of him, Reb Chaskel Avramsky. He was in the last generation. So Reb Chaskel used to spend a lot of time by the Kaisel in Yerushalayim. And there was a young man who wrote this sefer that I was looking at, that he said when he was a boy, he always was curious. Reb Chaskel wasn't just davening from a siddur. He would go there and he would daven, he would say things, and he would cry. So once the author of the sefer said that when he was a boy, he went by the kursel and he put his ear next to Reb Chaskel to try to hear what Reb Chaskel Avramsky was saying. And he heard that Reb Chaskel Avramsky was saying this. He says, Rabbi Shalom, You're the best melamed. You're the best teacher. And how do I know that? Because I said a bracha hamelamed Torah l'am Yisrael, that you teach Torah to the Jewish people. You're the best melamed. Therefore, he said, when Mashiach who's going to come any moment, why is Mashiach going to be great, such a great Talmud Chacham? Why? Not because he learnt in Brisk, not because he learnt in Ger or in Panevish, not because he learnt in Parat Yosef. The reason why he's going to be such a great Talmud Chacham is because you were his Rebbe Mamish, and you taught him Torah. So therefore, listen to Rabbi Chaskel Ramsky. So therefore, Baruch Shalom, I ask you, maybe it would be okay if you, how about if you teach me also a little bit of Torah today? If you teach me also a little bit of Torah? That's what he heard Rabbi Chaskel Ramsky saying. So that's a good thing to have in mind. That's a good thing to have in mind, that the Baruch Shalom should help us and to teach us a little Torah that day. Certainly, the Rebbe, the teacher, is a shliach of Hashem, but that Torah should become something which is a part of who we are. There's so many people that they learn, and the learning never changes them. They learn Hilchos Lashon Hara for 20 years, and it doesn't change who they are. They can learn all different things, and it doesn't affect them as people, as Jews. So the tefillah of Aharivna, we're davening for ourselves and for our children, that the Torah should become mixed into them. It should become part of who they are and should change their lives. Ube'ez birchas ha-Torah, Efshar lifol shiyev aharivna k'may shekosuv mi'asfas emes loshen taruvesh et isariv banu b'zareinu. And not only it should be mixed into ourselves, our children, ha-Torah k'doshev ha-dveikas ba'asiyas v'senes baruch shumay v'azem avakshem. Therefore we daven in birchas ha-Torah what? V'ni anachnu v'tzeinu and our children. V'kosuv mi'avnei nezer shekamoy b'nyani gashmiyas onerayim shekashi yesh lo'av mum. So the Avnei Nezer said that we see them when it comes to Gashmias, in physical life. That what? That when a father, when a person has, God forbid, a mum, some sort of a physical blemish, Hashem is baruch yazor shalai yeh shum bar Yisrael, shum mum, shum chisar, v'chol yivar v'gida v'alnikach l'dug m'lahavdol kash yesh l'goy mum. So he doesn't want to say by a Jew that a Jew has a mum, so he says, let's take a different example. If a non-Jew has a mum, has something that's wrong, some defect, there's a difference. If the mum is chitzayni, if there's let's say a scar, or there's a blemish on the skin, on the outside of the person, that doesn't go in a Yerusha. If a person has a scab, if a person has stitches, if he has a chitzayni yizdike mum, something, an external blemish, a cut, something is wrong, that's not passed on to the children. Even the craziest person would not have a problem with the shidduch hearing that the mother has a cut, right? Although it's hard to say these days where things are going, right? That we heard that your Alter Zayde, you know, had a boo-boo. Maybe we're nervous how that's going to emerge in the children. That's ridiculous, right? Even by our silly hasagas, that's ridiculous. That's a mum chitzayni, that's an external mum. It's a blemish that hasn't become part of that person. Therefore, it's not handed down in the Yerusha. It's not handed down in any way genetically to a child or to a grandchild. So he says, "Aval im yesh legoy mum pnimi." But if a person has an inner mum, God forbid, if there's something organically wrong, if there's something wrong in a deeper way, then there can be a Yerusha, it depends, but there can be something which is a Yerusha, ben mitzad the body, and ben mitzad the person's intellect and emotions, that something can be handed down. For halimud lono, and the Avnei Nezer taught, what do we learn from this? Hulagabe avaydus Hashem, when it comes to avaydus Hashem, Shekasha bar Yisrael zoichesh atayra kadoisha avaydus Hashem tehapech liyas chelik meha'atzmi yishalayim. This is so important. In a much more positive way, you know, anything that's in a negative way, we have a rule that when something is the midat toiva, when it's in a good thing, certainly it works in a much stronger way. So if we see that in a negative way, there's a distinction made between an external blemish and an internal disorder, that which is external is not handed down in the Yerusha from generation to generation, but that which is internal in a negative way can, God forbid, be handed down. So then the rule is, b'midat tayva, in a good way, then how much more so, infinitely more so, that what? That when a person's Torah, when a person's learning, when a person's observance of mitzvahs, when a person's way of davening, is a chelik mi'ha'atzmi, so it's part of who you are. It's not something which is an external, empty act. Mi'amuhushalo, if you're, they say in the Tzemach Tzedek from Lubavitch, that when he would when he would cut his finger, blood didn't come out. Chassidus would come out. Of course, he would bleed. But the meaning of that, when they said that, I mean, the simple chassidim, I'm sure believed it, that somehow chassidus came out of his hand. But we understood what the Adam Gadol who said that about the Tzemach Tzedek was saying, is that chassidus is not something that the Tzemach Tzedek just taught. Chassidus is something that the Tzemach Tzedek lived and was part of every fiber of his being. It was woven into the fabric of his neshama. When your davening is something which is part of you, when your mitzvah is something which is, when you observe a mitzvah, besimcha, and your mitzvahs are with hislavus, and your Yiddishkeit is not something which is just menasofer velachus, it's just mouthing the words and doing empty acts. So then the Avnei Nezer taught that what happens is that he says, Shebechol Evarv Yumu Uravim Divrei HaTorah HaKadosha. I remember my Rebbe, I was zeichet to learn by a great tzaddik, his name was Rav David Lifshitz, the Suvalka Rav. Rav David, so he didn't come from a chassidish background, Rav David, and he learned in the yeshivas. But he had a tremendous appreciation for chassidish Torah. So I used to drive him. From different places. And he would often ask me to say, you know, a chassidish Torah, to say something chassidus, because he wasn't raised that way, and he didn't have it so much, he would ask for some chassidus. And I would start to say, he would tell me, you know, to pull over to the side. And, you know, you can't say something when you're driving. And he was so emotional, he didn't understand how I was able to continue driving after saying something, you know, from the Sfasemes, from the Balatanya, from Rabbi Nachman. Because when you say it, when a tzaddik would hear a good vart, It's not like, you know, for if somebody says, ah, that's interesting, it's sharp, it's nice. It was something, a good vart, a Torah, is something which, in a tzaddik, it goes to the mamish all the way inside. And therefore, what the Avnei Nezer taught was that when that happens, when your Torah is learned in such a way, when your mitzvahs are observed in such a way, in such a pnimistic way, when that happens, so then this Torah is a Torah that you're able to pass on to the children. That you're able to pass on. He says, Shebechol Evar of Yumurav and Divya Torah Kadosh, Chol Halacha Shulamid Misarevis from the Vlas Bedamai. It becomes absorbed in your blood, it becomes part of you. It becomes part of you. I think my wife said she once heard from a Rebbetzin. That those women who, in those times when they didn't have any mikvahs, they went to Teufel in ice water, when they had no place to go to a mikvah, they went to Teufel in ice water, so they were able to give birth to children who had the kaiches to sing Ani Mamen when they were going into fire, into an oven. When the Yiddishkeit, that was, the Yiddishkeit of a parent, you know, we wonder, never has there ever been a time before where so many Jews have access to Torah like now, and we would expect that there would be some Rav Moshe Feinsteins or Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetzis coming out of all of this, right? Or there'd be a new generation of Lubavitchers, Rebbes, and Satin Rebbes, and Klausenbergers, and we're holding our breaths in anticipation for these neshamas, for these tzaddikim, and halavai Hashem should help. And there are many reasons why it doesn't seem to be happening, even though there's never been as much time. There's never been as much time to learn as now. And that we saw that even simple Jews were able to bring such big neshamas into the world. And now we're trying everything with all the classes and this and that, and we're going to shiurim. All of you are much more educated than your grandmothers, right? You know that. All of you are much more educated than your grandmothers. Your great-grandmothers, they didn't have yeshivas for the women in those days. Some individual women were big, you know, they were big maskilas, but usually... But the emunah was such a passion. The tehillim was such a passion that it was something which was mamish nivla bedam. It was in their blood. And when you have something beautiful, that's internalized, then you can give it over in a Yerusha. It goes over genetically. But if your Yiddishkeit, if your Yiddishkeit is very external, if your Yiddishkeit is just something which is a nice little thing that's on the surface, it looks nice. It looks nice. We look a certain way. We dress like a religious family. It looks right. We daven in the right shul. We wear the right outfit. Everything looks right. But the Yiddishkeit is not something which is really, really mixed into you. V'harev na Hashem Elokeinu. That's the tefillah. That's when you say that bracha in the morning, the Baruch Shalom, help that the Torah, the mitzvah should become mixed into me, so that my children should be able to receive it from me. Even though I'm not, doesn't mean I'm such a good teacher, but the children should see on me. It should be something which can be passed along, because it's so much a part of my very essence. Because the essence is passed down from generation to generation. That's passed down. And we've seen this, many, many examples of this. If your Yiddishkeit is very, very much not a part of you, it's just something which is superficial, so it's very hard to produce Chofetz Chaim from such a Yiddishkeit. It's very hard from a Yiddishkeit that's cold and it's just mechanical. How are you supposed to produce big Jews? Where are they supposed to, from where? We're waiting for someone to tell them something in yeshiva, but they have to get it from us. That's why, in the writings of Rabbi Nachum from Breslov, I might have mentioned this some weeks ago, Rabbi Nachum from Breslov over and over emphasized that it's not enough to learn Torah. He says you have to change your Torah into tefillah. Did I discuss this with you? Changing Torah into tefillah, which in Rabbi Nachum's teachings is a very big subject, it means that when you learn something, you shouldn't allow it to remain just a new intellectual abstract concept. You should daven for it. L'moshel, what we're learning tonight, it would be a good thing, if it were possible, for everybody to try for 30 seconds tonight, tomorrow morning, to daven, that we should be able to be these kind of people. When you learn something in halacha, why is it that you see that there's so many Jews that they learn so much and yet it doesn't seem to translate into mitzvahs? You know, sometimes you hear terrible stories about Jews that are supposedly, you know, kind of people that go to the mikveh every day, and then they're taking money with the yeshivas, with the government, and it's a chilul Hashem, and every Jewish heart is broken to hear of such things. How could it be? You ask a person like this who's learning Torah for 30, 40 years. So the answer is he learned it, but he didn't daven. What does it mean? He said Ashrei. See, if you would learn the Gemara, so many Gemaras that deal with honesty between people. Well, the Gemaras in Bava Metzia, Bava Basa, Bava Kama that deal with relationships between people and business and so on. If that person would internalize those Gemaras by davening for those kaiches that he's learning about, instead of it just remaining something which is hovering above his consciousness, or something which is just an intellectual abstract, right? So you could talk until you blew about being nice people, about Benon Lechaveiro, and all these nice things. But if you don't daven for it, when you daven for something, davening has a tremendous koyach to be mamshich something into your very, to bring it into your blood. V'harev now comes through davening. It's the most powerful, the most certain way to bring something into you is through tefillah. So if you go to a shir and you hear an interesting shir, so don't just leave it as something which is interesting and you have a couple of notes and it's nice. So what are you going to do? You'll be 120, you're going to take a notebook? So we're trying to learn that we should become greater Jews. And we should internalize these things. So when you hear something that's a good word, you hear a halacha, you daven. You're learning the halachas of hadlakas ner Shabbos. So then you daven. Whatever that halacha is, even if it's a detail in halacha that seems to be something which is just, it's a very, very simple or mundane thing. But when you daven for it, that you should be able to be mekayim this inyan in the fullest sense, right? So that when you daven, let's say when you're learning a Hilchos Shabbos, wouldn't it be wonderful? I know this could never be done in any broad sense, but I do this with my students where I teach that after we learn an inyan, let's say we're learning the inyan the halachas of hadlakas ner Shabbos, so then if the students themselves with each one would write a tefillah. Would write a tefillah based upon what I learned. He wrote some of Hashem in English to continue. Rabbi Shalom help that when I motion with my hands, when I'm lighting the candles, that I should with each tnufa, with each movement of my hand, I should be zoche to bring into my heart the light of Shabbos and what Shabbos means, and shalom bayis and simcha and bracha and so on. And in all the halachas, you could do that after you learn something. But a person would be able to have a collection of tefillas, of his or her own tefillas, after 120 years. Those tefillas are the most precious tefillas, and also those Torahs become part of you. You internalize. Doesn't mean every single thing that you learn, because obviously some things strike us a certain way, other things not. But if something hits you in a strong way, it means that it's a chelik of your being. But you need to make it something which is part of you, and the only way to make it part of you is by davening and bringing it into that world of aharev na Hashem Elokeinu. Then it becomes absorbed in the blood. And that's your entire chiyus, that's your whole life, is this mitzvah, is what you're doing. The most important thing to daven for right away in the morning is that your children should be Jews who learn Torah, who live a life of Torah, that they should love Torah. That they should become completely immersed in the study of Torah, and doing the Ratzon of Hashem. That's why in that bracha of the morning, Birchas HaTorah, when we daven, we say Sheni Anachnu, but that Hashem help us. First, help me, help us. My husband, myself, my wife, help us, that the Torah should be a part of us. It should become mixed into our beings. And then I'm certain that I'll be able to give it over in a Yerusha. To my children, to my grandchildren. Next page. Val Kainan, therefore, Kfi Mashem Avakshom Mischananim Shiniske Levaharivna. He says, Tata, mish ois the Torah kadosh in me. Father, Rabban Shalom, mix the Torah, mix it up good inside of me. Shatarat es arev bi tiyeh nivlas bedomi, should become part and absorbed in my blood. Ayde zehi tavel etzei. We'll go to my children, my grandchildren. Because when you and I are sitting one day and doing a mitzvah, we don't know the impact that could have upon a grandchild, a great-grandchild. That mitzvah can have upon a great grandchild. It can have upon someone that you might never meet. Many, many, many years ahead that you might not ever meet. But that, because that was part of you, it was given over. To all the neshamas that are connected to me. Therefore, when you make brachas, you should remember these neshamas of your children and grandchildren. People you've never yet met. And you could have that in mind when you make the bracha in the morning. To all these neshamas that have a shaychus to me. Veins and mishana is a chelik b'torah shem yuvad avur lahari lahanik l'neshamas atluyas bay. Benim's aleph beis, benim's esharin yoni limud ratzon Hashem. It does make a difference if that if you're at a point where you're teaching that kid aleph beis or it's something else. It does make a difference because when you're davening in the morning, that tefillah covers everything. Sheish inin godlam oid liskas lamid lilmaid b'chol yom v'yomim banav. And he says, I'm sorry, I skipped a line. He says, "L'neshama, yeah, benim's aleph beis, benim's esharin yoni limud ratzon Hashem. Shek yedu me'azara kodesh v'harbi tzadikim." It's been taught in the Zohar and by many tzaddikim, sheish inyan gadol ma'od. It's a very great inyan. Lizkais lilmod b'chol yom v'yomim banav, to learn something with your children each day. It doesn't make a difference. You know, until I realize, I'm still trying to realize it. You know, that it doesn't have to be to pound into my son's head the same Gemara that was being driven into him for the last, 7 hours that day. And that now all he has to look forward to is that when he comes home, after half hour being upstairs, being a little boy again, that it's time to go down. I'm down to the basement, and there sits your father with the same gemara you saw the whole day. And achamol. Here we go. If you didn't get killed this morning, I'm going to kill you now. Right? So what about chazara? So, all right, so I'm beginning to realize that maybe I'm just going to trust in the Rebbe, I'll trust in the Baruch Shalom, and with my son, I'll try to learn something else that he likes, some Navi or something. You know, a few minutes. It doesn't have to be 2 hours, 3 hours. These are all the things that I thought of, because I always heard this when I was in yeshiva, you know. But really, that's not the point. The point is to make a hiskashus with your child. Every day. I feel as man muat ma'id, even if it's just a little bit. Even if 2-3 minutes of art something. To say over some Dvar Torah to the children, to a child. Because anytime you get chap something, to give a little bit of light into that child, choshev yekar ma'od b'shamayim is very dear and very important and precious in Shemayim. Today, what you could do today, to give it to your children. Today, there's a special bracha that Hashem has given me. What? That I can give, that I could teach my children something. You remember we spoke around the second week about what was it that, or the third week, what was it that ultimately saved Yosef at Tzadik on that difficult day when he was being tested by that whole world of the wife of Potiphar? What ultimately saved him was that he saw the image of his father, right? That's what ultimately saved him. It wasn't his report card, right? And it wasn't his SAT scores, for sure not. What saved him on that day was that he saw the image of his father. And the image of his father was saying, this doesn't become one of the children of Yaakov. This doesn't become one of my children. When Yosef HaTzadik was being drawn into that place. So we learned, we spoke about this, that it's absolutely urgent, of the greatest importance, that you and I become those future images of our children. You understand what I'm saying? That when our children will go through difficulties, which they will, because they're going to have to make 1,000 decisions, and it's not just between, you know, milchigs or fleishigs. They're going to have to make thousands of very big decisions, and we're not going to be with them when they're making those decisions. And they're not going to call us they're not going to call us when it comes to making certain decisions. When it comes to a certain Yetzirah, and your kid is there in that place at that time, so it has to be that the father, the mother, become the alma diskasya, the hidden world of the child, become so that when they have to make that decision, and they feel drawn towards, God forbid, the wrong thing, towards the wife of Potiphar, then they're able to see that the mezdukin of a father or of a mother that says this is not for you. And that pulls them out of that. And we spoke about that a little bit. And there are many, many ways that we can create that image for the future projection of our children's lives, that they should have us to take with them, even after 120, when you and I are already in the world of truth and our children are here in this world without us, that they should be able to have the Dmuz Diukin of us that will strengthen them till they're 120. Till they're 120, which that's what they need in order to be good Jews. They need that they should have their parents' image, the images of their parents. So, when it comes to learning with a child, even a little bit, when it comes to learning with a child, something. So, we find in the same parasha, meaning the same story of Yaakov and his sons, that teaches us so much about parents and children. So much of what we have to learn about chinuch, we learn from Sefer Bereishis with Yaakov Avinu and the Imahos and the children. So all of you know that when the children of Yaakov were trying to convince him that Oid Yosef Chai, that Yosef HaTzadik was still alive, so all of you know that Yaakov Avinu could not until what? No? So that was Sarach Bas Osher came to play the song, right? This Oid Yosef Chai. But ultimately, even that would not have worked. The only thing that was able to restore the neshama, to bring Yaakov to that point of atchi ruach Yaakov avihem, to bring back the ruach of Yaakov, was when he saw that Yosef HaTzadik sent the agolas, the wagons. And you remember Rashi brings from Chazal that it was a simon mosalehem, that b'meha yo'isek, because that was the last thing that they were learning together, right? The last thing that Yosef HaTzadik was learning with his father, with Yaakov Avinu, was the inyan of Egla Rufa. Why was it Egla Rufa? Oh, that's a lot of tire on that, but that's not important for now. The point is that what brought Yaakov Avinu back to life, and what brought the whole family back to life, was that the last thing that Yaakov Avinu and Yosef HaTzadik had done was that they had learned with each other. And this was the simon of the wagon that was sent, because they were learning the subject of the Egla Rufa. And certainly when Yaakov Avinu and Yosef HaTzadik learned the inyan of the Egla Rufa, it wasn't just learning the halacha, but they spoke about the purpose of life, and the dignity of man, which is what the Egla Rufa is all about, the dignity of a human being, and so on, and the Tzelem Elokim. Certainly Yaakov Avinu and he learned with Yosef HaTzadik. And what's remarkable is it was that limud, it was that learning that was able to build within Yosef HaTzadik that demus diyoken, that image of a father. The little bit of learning that you and I are able, that we do with our children, to us it might seem like it's so what? It's a little thing. It's a little parak and navi, or it's the seyavar ma'isa, or it's whatever, a little the seyavar. It's something that you saw. So to us it might seem like it's very insignificant. It might seem like it's really unimportant. But the truth is that the children identify with those Torahs that you and I identify with. And if all you're saying at the Shabbos table, if all your children have ever heard, is some interesting way to make Pasuk Aleph and Beis work out, that's nice. I mean, to make Aleph and Beis work out is certainly an important thing. But if there is no deeper message that the children can refer back to and see that this was something that my father, my mother, this is something my father loved, this is something my mother loved, she was very attached to this inyan, she was very attached to this parasha. Where was I reading someplace that and I remember my father telling this, I read this someplace, but I remember my father telling to me about my grandmother I never met, that my father said that when she used to read the Tzanarana, when she used to read the Tzanarana in the parishes, you know, especially in Bereishis, but when it would come to Shmais, so she would be clapping and happy and laughing. When the Mitzrayim were drowned, she would say, "You see, you shlecht the Mitzrayim. You thought you're gonna hurt Bnei Yisrael." And each year was like, you know, anayimase, you know, it was like a new story and so exciting, and to feel like the thrill of defeating the Mitzrayim. And you know, all along the way, the suspense, when it comes to a parasha like Vayigash, my father told me he remembers his father every year, when it comes to parashas Vayigash Friday night, that he would say to them the parasha, and he would start to cry. He was so emotional when Yosef HaTzadik said, "Ani Yosef," right? This is what the children remember. They're not going to remember. I got news for you. They're not going to remember how you made Aleph and Beis work out. I mean, that's all good, but they're not going to remember that. Unless, you know, you have a kid with a photographic memory. And even so, like when he's going through the difficulties in life and he has to make his decisions, it's not that he's going to see you standing over him saying Aleph and Beis work out very nicely. It's because there's something there in the Torah that you said and the Torah that you were excited about. And your kid saw that and felt that. There was something that meant something to you. I want to share with you something from a person who was a very, very complicated and remarkable person who I was zeichet to learn from. I mean, you know, that's really. I mean, I sat there. You know, what I mean, to learn from. I can't say that, but I sat there and I was amazed and I listened. Rabbi Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, Olav Shalom. The much maligned Rabbi Yosher Ber from the yeshiva world, who had little understanding of him and generally were very nervous about his learning, about the greatness of his learning. So I want to read to you two paragraphs from Rabbi Yosef Ben's writings. He was a very complicated person. He was a very, very profound thinker. I think you know about that and you heard of him. And it would certainly be kedai to read some of the things that, instead of hearing rumors and this and that and, you know, JB and so on, it'd be very kedai to take a look at some of the things that Chasdei Hashem we have left over from him. Out of all those years that he taught, he says like this. He wrote like this. Hinei lifnei Rosh Hashanah zeh. He said before this year Rosh Hashanah. He wrote afterwards. He said before Rosh Hashanah, Omad lefanai b'dimyoni avi zatzal. I saw in my imagination my father, Reb Moshe Soloveitchik. Hu haya Rabbi Umari hayachid shahariyali b'chol yimei chayai. He was the only Rebbe I had my entire life. You know, they couldn't find any Rebbe for him to teach him. You know. He spoke about when he was a little boy, he had one Chabad Rebbe. But then when his father found out that he was teaching more Tanya than Gemara, so then he said, enough is enough, and then the father taught him only. But as he got older, he said the only Rebbe he ever had in his life was his father. Achshav, he said, Shitachti Chayai Lefanav. He says, when I saw this image of my father, he says, I began to cry to my father to tell him all about my life. V'amarti lo Abba Mari. Listen to what he said. This is what Rav Soloveitchik said when he was thinking of his father. My father, my master. Kama chidushim chidashti b'avodas Yom HaKippurim. This year, preparing for the Yom Neroim, Rabbi Yosef said, he said to his father, I had many new insights into the halachas of the avodah of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. The sugya shal mitzvahs lav lahenis nitnu, in a certain sugya in the Gemara, behilchas shofar, in the halachas of the shofar. Bevada yesh b'neihem dvarim shehayisa merutza mehem v'nena mehem. He says, Father, some of the things that I came up with this year in my learning before Yontiv, some of them I'm sure you've been very proud of me, you've been very happy. V'yesh aloha, you might say mechein b'nech, and I'm sure there are many things I said that you wouldn't have been so happy with. You would have rejected them. He says, "Kachad ibarti elav b'dimyoni." So Rabbi Yosef said, "This is how I spoke to my father in my imagination." Even though I knew that I'm not going to hear a word from my father's mouth. Oh, he says, "Oy vei, kama hayisi nosein lo, kama hayisi nosein." What? And this is for those who think they're talking about it, some Kalta Litvak over here, right? Risk. So he said, "Oi, kama hayisi nosein. What would I give? Lu yachalti l'achlifim odvarim bechidushi Torah. If I could only converse with him once again in Torah. L'chamesh dakos bilvad, just for 5 minutes, if I could talk to him. Aval yadati ki admusa ha'ahuva shahaisa krova kol kach. But I knew that this image, that this beloved face that I imagined in my mind, that was so close to me." He is now far from me. And he says, V'halev mispotseitz migaguim, and my heart is exploding with a longing, with missing him. La'afsharu shel chamesh dakos, my heart is exploding with a longing to have 5 minutes. Shel sicha of a conversation. Shelo tomid yodanu laharich es mlo erka, because when we were alive, I didn't always treasure that the way that I should have, in the fullest sense. Kasher adayin haisa imanu, when he was still with me, when his neshama was still with me. That's a powerful image. That's a very, very powerful image that you take, that a person like him took with him his entire life. If to all the years, and with all of his loneliness, you know, those who are familiar with his teachings, how he took that with him 120, you know, till that time when he passed away, which wasn't so far from 120, he took that with him. Here's another paragraph. Listen to this. This is easier to handle and sweeter. Also from Rabbi Shabir. He says, Shiurav shal Abba. He said, you know, when my father would give a shiur, it wasn't in a yeshiva building. He says, my father, Rabbi Moshe, used to give a shiur to very great, great young men, Big Talmid Chacham, in whose house? In the grandfather's house. And who was the grandfather of Rabbi Shabir? No, Reb Chaim Brisker, right? So he said, Shi'urav shal Abba, Hayunitanim betraklin shel beis saba. Rabbi Yosef Be'er said that they lived in the grandfather's house, and that my father used to give shiurim to a group of young men in the house of Rabbi Chaim Brisker. Sham haisamitasi, and he says, I used to have my bed. They weren't rich. He says, I had my bed. Rabbi Yosef Be'er had his bed in that room where his father, Rabbi Moshe, used to give the shiur. Darki haisal ha-shevas b'mitasi, I used to sit on my bed. Ulahazin l'divrei Abba, and I would listen to my father. Abba Mori diber tamer al adois ha-rambam. He was always talking about the Rambam, my father. Pekachay ha-yaisa, this is what he would do. Haya perseach as a gemara, he says, my father would open the gemara. Kari as a sugi, he would learn the gemara. Then he would say, "Zel perish l'ariu b'al Taisus." This is the commentary of Taisus. Achshav na'ayin number Rambam. Now let's take a look at the Rambam. The nira ech pirushu. Let's see what the Rambam has to say. And then Rabbi Yosef said, "Tamid abba hayamaitziki." Rambam lo pirush k'maysam. He says, "I remember Father would always find that the Rambam was different from everybody else." Abba mori hayayomer benima bikaris. Einon mevinim lo esasvar lo shal Rambam. And I remember Father always saying, I don't understand what the Rambam is talking about. Kilo haya kaibal Rambam, as if he was complaining. Rabbeinu Moshe, as if he's angry with the Rambam, saying, Rabbeinu Moshe, I mean, Rambam, why did you do such a thing? Why did you write such a strange thing? And he would say, Haravid basagosa tzaydik, the Ravid, you know, the Ravid was always arguing the Rambam, the Ravid is right, the Rambam seems wrong. And then Rabbi Yosef Be'er said, "Bnei Chabura, how you met Nafim?" Then the young men there, these geniuses, would start jumping and screaming and fighting, trying to justify the Rambam. V'kol echad hitzias rayon, and each one would suggest his idea. Abba haya makshiv, haya doiches the Rambam. Father would listen, and he would disprove all these possibilities. V'amar oitpam, divrei Rabbeinu koshim kebarzel. My father would say, the words of the Rambam are difficult like iron in their heart. But he didn't give up hope. My father would put his head on his hand. He would lean on his hand, and he would become lost in deep thought. All the young men were silent. Also, no one wanted to disturb him. And I remember this Rabbi Yosef Be'er also. Very similar. The whole scene was Rabbi Yosef Be'er. After a long time, he would lift up his head slowly and say, "Rabbeisai, nearly, this is how it seems to me." And then he would go on to explain the Rambam, a whole new pshat. And Rabbi Yosef Be'er says, "Ani asisi oznei kafecheses vahisi mazel l'dvar." I would listen. Lahivanti af mila achas. Rabbi Yosef Be'er said, I was a little boy. I didn't understand one word of what my father was saying. Bram, nevertheless, haroishem shenisrakim b'moichi hatam, but the impression that it made. He said, in my innocent mind, in my child's mind, the roshim that made, ki hoya Rambam mukav misnagdim, was that the Rambam was surrounded by enemies. V'hamagen hayichidi hu Abba Mori, and the only one to defend him was my father, is going to protect the Rambam against all of those enemies. La'at la'at poga hamesicha, slowly the tension would subside. Abba tzad ba'ozu b'gvur, my father would move forward with great courage and strength. Svaros chadoshos, new ideas, new concepts, boku v'olu would pierce the air. Halachos, new halachos, ideas, or chadosh, a new light would shine. Hakushis nisyashvu, all of the difficulties that were originally in the Rambam were solved. Hasugi nisparsh, the Gemara was explained. HaRambam Yotzah Kemenetzeh, the Rambam came out victorious. Gam Ani Ishtatavti B'Simcha Zu, as a little boy, I joined in this Simcha. Oliz V'Sameach Hayisi, I was so happy. Hayisi Kofetz Mimitasi, I would jump out of bed. V'Ratz Maher L'Cheder Imi, I would run to Mommy's room, to my mother's room. U'B'Sorah Marninas Leiv B'Fi, and I would come with terrific news, great news. Ima, Ima, HaRambam Tzodek. Mother, the Rambam is right. He beat the Ravid. Abba Azarlo. Father helped him. Listen, we're not Ramosha Soloveitchiks. But that's not what it wasn't. He didn't understand the Rambam, Rabbi Yosef Be'er. He was a little boy. He didn't know what his father was talking about. The impression that it made upon him. the chashivas of Torah in that house. The chashivas. What the Rambam was, what it meant, and what Torah was, and the excitement of Yiddishkeit. This is something that stays in a Jew for his entire life. And we have to somehow, it's hard for us, because if we don't feel it ourselves, what are we supposed to do? But we have to do something that our children should be able to have these type of, this a memory, a strong, powerful memory of what Yiddishkeit was to my parents. Not that, you know, not a tired and bored look, and not I don't want to harp on this, but not, you know, a father talking and davening or hanging out someplace, but something real, something important. That's why it's also important that, even though it's important that the men should learn in Bismedrish and so on, but it's also important that they should see the father's learning. That the children should see the father's learning, and that learning is something which is exciting to the father. And they see that the father gets excited about that and wants to share an idea. A mother, you see something, a good vart, you should prepare something during the week. A good vart, something that means something to you. Whatever it is, a pasuk. Because when the children see that, that's the parasha of the Agolus of Yosef HaTzadik. That's what it's talking about in the Chumash, that Yosef HaTzadik brought his father back to life, and that Yosef, how did Yosef remain a king even in Mitzrayim? Isn't that what we're all hoping for? That our children should be kings and queens in Mitzrayim. But not in Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim now is also Shtikla Mitzrayim, you know. Before Mashiach comes, it's not so easy in Yerushalayim either these days. So we need for our children to be kings and queens in Mitzrayim. How did Yosef HaTzadik stay a king in Mitzrayim? How did he become Yosef HaTzadik in such a place? And the answer is the same way that our children are going to be kings and queens, princes and princesses in the crazy places that they're going to have to be in. And that's if we are able to be the images that they can refer to give them that strength, to give them that knowledge, to give them that inspiration of being Jews. Together, of course, with good rebbeim, teachers hopefully that are inspiring, things that they've come across, things that they've seen. But mostly it depends on us. Because when it came down to it, that's the only thing that remained between Yaakov and his son over all those years, was the last thing that I learned with my father that kept me alive. Therefore, we should try, if possible, each and every day to learn a little bit, something, just to say a good word, something. And something that we're excited about. And that we should daven the harivna, that Baruch Shalom helped that the Torah should be a part of me and not something superficial in me. Helped that my Yiddishkeit, Shabbos is such an amazing opportunity. Friday night, I know it's so hard because we're all so tired. It's so hard. Friday night at the table, that it should be with the Chiyas, it should be with Simcha. So often the children are growing up and there's a lot of company and there's distractions. How important it is for everybody to have time when it's just the children at the table. The Archim, you know that now the Hachnasas Archim is usually not Hachnasas Archim. It's socializing, right? It's having friends and family. That's all very nice. But the children need to have that. Even though the children love to have company because they can run around, have a great time, they meet new people, they talk, it's exciting. And they don't want to just get stuck with their parents. It's like boring, you know. What kind of Shabbos is this? You know, an in Shabbos. Afal Pichin, nevertheless, in the years to come, it's not the guests that they need to remember. It's you with them and Shabbos, and what that means, and the feeling of Shabbos, especially when Shabbos comes in. If a mother can muster up the strength, I know it's almost impossible, and it's really not even nice for me to suggest, but maybe once a month, if it's possible, to try, before the men come back from shul, to sing Lecha Doidi, together with the girls, but with the chiyas. Right, and to tell a story, to be together, and because these are the memories that are going to keep them going, and we have to plant them right now, so the Baruch Shem should help us to be these kind of parents and to see children who are little Yosef Atzadiks come out from all of this.